So thank you, Tom. What a picture that sets us up for this morning as we just take a few moments to look at the resurrection of Jesus and this moment that he had with his disciple Peter. Now, I don't know about you, but that question, "Do you love me?" that is a pretty important one if you're asking it or whether you're the one having to answer it. And I think about love. I think about when I was in high school as a freshman, and I dated a girl by the name of Lori Beth. Now, we had dated for a long time, and 7 days. And and on the eighth day, she came to me before school started, and she said to me, "Jeff, my mom said that we can't date anymore." That's where you're supposed to go, "Aw." And so I honestly didn't know what to say. I just stood there like, okay. And what was weird is that her parents and my parents were friends. So I don't know if they got together and said, "This isn't going to work," or whatever. And I got home and I was like, "Mom, you know, Lori Beth broke up with me." You know, she's like, "Well, maybe that's for the best." You know, it's like, okay, maybe it wasn't. But, you know, I felt rejected. I felt that, you know, like we had such a strong relationship over those 7 days. Like, come on, like what's going on here? But you know, I got over it probably a day later, and I want to finish that story in just a bit. But what we want to do here today is we want to really look at that for the next few moments, not my 7 days of dating, but the question that Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" And Jesus not only asks that question, but he comes with a statement after that, and he says, "Follow me." And what we're going to do today is take a look at a few things. One, we're going to look at the question and the invitation, and then we want to take some time to talk about life after Easter. As you came in today, you were given a half-sheet outline, if you'd like to follow along with that. What we want to say today on Easter Sunday is this: because of the resurrection, Jesus wants our all. Because of the resurrection, Jesus wants our all. Again, the question that was asked in our drama, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, you may be thinking like, "Well, I didn't ask Jesus to do what he did for me. I was pretty good on my own, doing my own thing." And you know, I thought the same thing too. But it was when, at 22 years old, I realized that my life was broken. It was incomplete. I was doing my own thing, and I realized that there had to have been some greater purpose, something more to live for. It was at that time where I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I believed that he was the Son of God, that he died for the sin of the world, and he rose from the dead. And through believing in what he has done, I called out to him in faith, and I believe that I began a beautiful relationship with him at that age. I'd gone to church all my life. I'd done the right thing, said the right church stuff, but it wasn't until then that I really believed that God said, "I want all of you." And I said, "I'll give you all of me." And so that's why we're here today. Because of the resurrection, Jesus wants our all. You know, I think about, even in my own life, one of the things that if I begin to do it correctly, if I give it my all, one of my weaknesses is I love sweets. And I'll eat them anytime. But if I begin to do the right things by eating right and going to the gym and exercising properly and not eating after 8 o'clock or staying away from the things that I don't need to do, then things begin to work. I begin to see the results, and I don't show up to the gym and look at the treadmill and then, you know, will it for it to start sweating or the calories to begin to burn off. And I don't, you know, as Tim Hawkins, if you're familiar with him, you know, begin to eat some Cheetos and say, "And, you know, please, Lord, let this turn into a carrot," as it goes down. It just doesn't work that way. I have to give it my all in all those areas, and I begin to see the results. And I think a lot of times, I know I've done it in my own life, is that we do that with God. We expect God to give his all to us. And yet, when he calls for us to follow him in return, we begin to make the excuses. We begin to say, "Well, I'm too busy," or "I can't do this," or "What about, you know, what are people going to think?" And yet, what we see here is because of a great resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's saying, "I want all of you. I've given all of me." He's not being an egomaniac. He's just saying, "I've given all of me for you. Follow me." So as we see in this passage today, we're going to look at just a few verses here today in John chapter 21. And here, Peter is with 6 other disciples. And as in our drama, as we saw, they went and spent all night fishing. And it was at a moment when it began to become daylight that there was a man standing on the shore and saying, "Have you caught anything?" And they didn't know who it was. And again, as you saw, he said, "Throw your nets over to the other side." And all of a sudden, there's all these fish. And it's kind of funny, you know, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, was saying, you know, "And the one whom Jesus loved said, hey, you know, that's Jesus over there." You know, and Peter at that moment has a Forrest Gump moment, jumps out of the boat, starts swimming to the shore. The guys are trying to pull all the fish in, and he's just going to see his master. Now, at this point, in John chapter 21, this is the third time that Peter has encountered Jesus. Peter has already seen Jesus when he met them when they were hiding for fear of their lives. He's already seen Jesus in the time where he encountered Thomas. So in those moments, just think, being there and imagining Peter kind of keeping his head down and scruffing his feet, you know, and maybe Jesus making eye contact, like, "We got to talk." But we don't see that he did that. And so here he is on the shore after the resurrection. And so what we want to do is just take a look at a couple of things here. One, we want to look at the question and the invitation. The question and the invitation. And if you have your Bible today or on your device, just turn to John chapter 21. Like I said, we're going to look at a few verses here today. And I want to encourage and challenge you to take time this week and read the full passage so that you can get a fuller understanding of what was going on here. So in John chapter 21, what happens is that this Peter, he comes, he helps, gets the fish in. Jesus says, "I'm making breakfast, let's eat." And then they have their breakfast, they're done. And then it's time that Jesus wants to have some time with Peter. And in verses 15, 16, and 17, those questions arise. Verse 15, Jesus asks the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Verse 16, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And in verse 17, he asks the question again, "Simon, do you love me?" Here's what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't go, "Really, were you that incompetent that you had to deny me? Do you remember you said you were all in on this thing called Jesus? Do you remember that?" He didn't do that. Did he take time just to berate him, to shame him? He didn't do that. He came to him and simply said, and ask, "Simon, do you love me?" You know, I thank God that he doesn't do that with me or with us. That at the moment that we turn from him, the moment that we want to do our own thing, that he says, "I've had enough and I'm out." And he doesn't do that to us. But what was happening here is Jesus was being a little more serious with Peter, calling him Simon, son of John. He's saying, "Now listen, breakfast was good, we've had a great time, but now let's talk about your heart. What does this look like for you, Peter?" You see, when he calls him also Simon the son of John, that goes back to even in the Gospel of Matthew, to where Peter declared Jesus being the Messiah. And so it's important that we see here also that with Jesus asking him these questions, what Peter needed to begin to do is he needed to begin to recognize his denial of his Savior. And so by Jesus asking three times, he was saying, "You've denied me three times. Now I'm seeing, I want some affirmation, Peter. Are you in this?" He didn't say, "Good luck, I'm going to find somebody else." He's saying, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" What Jesus was saying, "Peter, my love for you is intense. I have such a great love for you. And for you, Peter, is your love sacrificial? Is your love one of surrender? Is your love for me going to be one that's unconditional?" Because what Peter needed to do, he needed to face his true feelings and his true motives when he was confronted by Christ. And so we have to ask the question of ourselves, what are those ways that we've denied Jesus? Maybe it's we've said, I am God of my own kingdom. To maybe it's like, you know what? I'll be okay with God handling this part of my life, but I need to handle this because I think this is going to be too much for him. Or it may be just in patterns of behavior or the way that we think, but there are ways that we all do that, including myself. But what we can recognize here in this reinstating of Peter is that we can come and deal with our sin, we can confess it, and then move on. And what Christ does in and through us, he will help us in those areas that we may drop a ball again and drop the ball again, but he's saying to us, in me, this is possible. In me, you can overcome. In me, because of the resurrection, of my resurrection from death to life, all things are possible through me. And so that's what he's saying, and we can do that. What Jesus was doing here with Peter was, Jesus was asking about commitment. Jesus was asking about commitment, because once he asked those questions, there's three times, he goes on to say this. He goes on to say, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. What Peter didn't know at that moment was Jesus had great things in store for him. Jesus was already seeing what he wanted and how he wanted to use Peter in the future. Because before the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, Peter was not a picture of strength, was he? He wasn't a picture of strength. He was a picture of weakness. He was a picture of failure. But yet, here's what Jesus does, just like he did with Peter. He will take our weaknesses, he will take our failures, and he will use them for his glory. That may not make sense in the grand scheme of things, but he will do so. But we have to come to him and say, you know what? I've broken your heart. I've sinned against you. What can we do to rectify this, Lord? Because I want to live for you. I want my life to be a picture of confidence in who you are and to let the world know what you've done. Because Jesus was going to do great things in and through Peter, just like he wants to do great things in and through us. So that was the question. He asked three times, do you love me? Peter, are you in this? Do you love me as I love you? And let's do this together. We go to the invitation. So a question was asked, and then the conversation continues in verses 19 through 22, where Jesus says to him, he says, Peter, here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your life. Not only are you going to lose your life, you're going to lose your life on account of me. And so this is probably at a moment where they've gotten up and they began to take a walk. And the one who Jesus loved, John was must have been following along, because Peter began to be curious about, what about everybody else? Well, particularly John, you know, looking over his shoulder and saying, well, what about him? What about him, Jesus? And Jesus is saying, what about him? I didn't ask you to worry about everybody else here in this moment. I'm talking to you. And this is what it's going to look like to follow me with your life. It says in verse 20, it says, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. In our own lives, and I know I do this, and I get in trouble with it, but I begin to compare my life to others. Like, look what they have, or look what they get to do. And in an age of social media, you know, that can really bring up a lot of jealousy and envy at sometimes. But yet, what Jesus is saying, he's like, you don't worry about them. Because as we said before, our comparison will kill our contentment. Because Jesus didn't ask us to compare. What he did was he asked us to follow. That's what he did in this moment. And when you and I begin to rationalize our own devotion to Christ, that will take us down bad roads. It'll take us to places that we were never intended to be. So our encouragement here is, let's keep our hearts bent on following Jesus. Because it matters to him who we're following. Don't worry about everybody else. And so what Jesus was doing here in this moment is that Jesus was making it personal. When Jesus gives this invitation to follow him, he is making it personal. He went from, are you committed to this cause, Peter, to now, Peter, what I'm asking for you to do is to do this. I'm asking you to surrender. I'm asking you to surrender yourself, your life, your ideas, your plans for mine and follow. Because it really didn't matter at that moment what Peter's future was. Jesus said, follow. Not only that, for some of us, we may feel uncertain, or we may have doubts about our future and what that all looks like. We may even have fears. But because of the resurrection, we can put our hope and rest it upon the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who is in control. We can confidently step with him with our steps of faith. And because of the resurrection, both you and I can live in that truth. That's why Jesus has done what he did for us. And Peter didn't get the full impact of what was going on yet. He didn't get it yet. And so I want to show you a picture of a student. His name is AJ. AJ graduated from Upper Moreland High School. AJ also was a part of the after school program that we had called The Zone. Now, I haven't seen AJ in several years after graduation. And it was just probably, I want to say within the past month, that I reconnected with him. And through Facebook, he told me, he said, "Listen, Jeff, I've given my life to Jesus." I was like, "What? No, this can't be right." And so I responded back and I said, "Listen, I want to take some time with you. Can we get together for dinner?" And he's like, "Absolutely." And so over the next few days, we got together. And I said, "AJ, what happened?" Like, that was kind of a silly question to ask. But he said, "Here's the thing." He said, "You know, I used to live my life thinking that if I was just good enough, if I would just see how everybody else was living, then I was living better than them. And everything was good. But it wasn't until I finally realized that my sin and my brokenness separated me from the love of God." And here we are in the restaurant, just all tearing up, and I'm going, "So what does this mean for you now?" He said, "I want to live for Jesus for the rest of my life, and I want everybody to know it." And he said, "Because he lives, I can live." And I'm going, "Oh, man, this is unbelievable." And here's what he said: "I didn't get it, but I do now. I didn't get it, but I do now." I want you to show the next picture, Nathan. 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of going to his baptism. So not only did he share that God changed his heart, but he let everybody else know. His whole family was there. His brother-in-law was being baptized. His niece was being baptized. And he shared with me at the restaurant, he said, "Listen, my dad's not into this at all." And I said, "You know what, AJ, do you love your dad?" "I love my dad. That's all you have to do. You love God, and you follow him, and God will do the rest." But he said he didn't get it. And I'm saying, thank you, God, for him getting it. And he said, "Jeff, I'll never forget that you would never preach at us when we came to The Zone. You never told us what we had to do." I said, "Here's what I did, AJ. I said, every day before we started The Zone, I prayed for every single one of you kids that came through those doors, that you would come to know Jesus personally." I said, "AJ, you were the ringleader of that group that came every single day." He said, "Yeah, now I'm talking to this person and this person and this." And some of them were there at his baptism, saying, "I don't get it all." I said, "That's all right. Jesus is real. He's alive. And he has great things in store for your life if you choose to follow him." He didn't get it. You know, Peter was someone who didn't get it. But after this third encounter with Jesus, about a month later, there was a festival called Pentecost. And at Pentecost, this is where God's Spirit came upon Peter, as Jesus had promised. He said, "When I go, I'm sending my Spirit to be your guide, to be your counselor." And it was there that Peter shared with the crowds, the thousands of people that were there, and he said this. He said, "It was us who crucified Jesus, but by the power of God, he was raised from the dead." And it was there that people believed. It was there that where Jesus once said, "On this rock, I'm going to build my church." Peter, this thing called salvation and redemption isn't just going to be for one specific cultural group or one specific region of the world. This is going worldwide. And the church began. Peter got it. You know, Peter was one who followed Jesus until his dying day. And Peter was crucified. But I don't know if you knew, but he was crucified upside down because he said to those who were killing him, he said this, "I am not worthy enough to hang on a cross like my Savior did." He lost his life. Many of the disciples lost their lives on account of the gospel. And here we are today, celebrating a resurrection of our Savior. And he's asking us, "Do you love me? Follow me." For you and I wanted to take just a few moments and talk to you about life after Easter. Because really, if you think about it, when all the candy's eaten, when the leftovers are put away and all the nice clothes are tucked back into the closet, what does that look like for you and I after today? After we've celebrated together, what does that mean for us? And I want to share three things with you this morning about life after Easter. The first is this: we want to declare the resurrection. We want to declare the resurrection. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal separation from God. As we've said time and time again here at Hope Community Church, our sin separates us from him, and Jesus was the one who took on our sin and our shame, and he brought us back to God if we choose to believe. This is an act of faith. When we declare the resurrection, this is an act of faith. And today, if you have said time and time again, I'm still not sure about this, or, you know, this is just all new for me, you can call out to God today, believing in what he's done, and by faith, ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life, and you can do that today. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, guess what? Easter is every day. Easter is every day. We celebrate his resurrection. So we declare the resurrection. The second is this, is that we live the resurrection. We live the resurrection. Galatians 2:20 says this in the New Century Version. I was put to death on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to save me. When we live the resurrection, this is an act of freedom. And what we can do with that is that we can work on the new self. I think a lot of times that what we do is we always focus on who we were, what we've done, and how we have to change that. And yet what we're told in the scriptures is that we are a new creation. We surrender that old stuff and continue to surrender and surrender it and work on what is new. We are in Christ. In and through him, we can overcome. In and through him, we can continue to be transformed by our heart and our lives. So it's an act of freedom. So we declare the resurrection, we live the resurrection, and finally we look to the resurrection. We look to the resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We look to the resurrection. This is an act of focus. Even when it's easier to turn our backs on what God wants for us, even when it's easier to do the thing that may be more easy or more popular, what Jesus is telling us is keep your eyes on me. This is temporary, folks. It's all going to go. And there's going to come a moment in time where he will come back for his people. And we will be with God forever. That is just something exciting. And why? Why? It was because the death of a Savior and a resurrection of a King. It's every day. And for you and I, we can keep our eyes on him. We declare the resurrection, we live the resurrection, and we look to the resurrection. Why? Because of the resurrection, Jesus wants our all. Back to my high school love story. So after Lori Best said, you know, we're done. It's been a nice ride, but it's over. Here's what I did. So I looked at her, and I punched her in the arm. I was like, okay, that was it. And we separated, and that was the story. That was it. There's nothing climactic, folks, but it was just over. And when I look back on it, I really think that my heart wasn't in it. It was like, all right, that was nice. Had a girl. Okay. Hockey was more important, really, at that time. But it wasn't until several years later when I met a girl who actually thought I was very odd. And she let her friends know how odd I was. But see, this October, we're going to be married for 20 years. And I share that with you because there was a moment on October 14th, 1995, where I said, I do. I was letting Tina Louise Cates know that I loved her. Now, once we got married, there was a lot of things I had to sacrifice. There was a lot of things I needed to surrender. And there was a lot of times I did it, you know, really against what I wanted to do, but I loved her. And I always went back to that. What commitment did you make to her? And now what are you going to do with it? And even to this day, there are still things that I have to learn to sacrifice and surrender. Because I love her. My heart's in it. And see, for you and I, that's really what Jesus is asking us today. Do you love me? And if in your heart you're saying, I love you, and he's saying, follow me. Follow me. And for some of us today, we're okay with just being committed verbally. And maybe for some of us, we have been at places where we're saying, God, what do I need to surrender? I love you. I want to follow you. But what does that look like for you? John finishes towards the end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Because of the resurrection, do you love him? And because of the resurrection, if he's telling you today to follow him, are you going to get up and go? There is life after Easter, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, we have our families here and our friends, and we have things probably going on, but I'll say to you today that I will be here after the service. If that's where you are today, there may be things that you just need prayer for. There may be things that you need to talk about. There may be for some of you today that you're saying, yes, today. I get it. I would love to talk to you about what that looks like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But for now, let us live in the hope that because of this resurrection, we are willing to give our all because Jesus gave his all for us. Father, we come to you this morning on an Easter Sunday celebrating that you have risen and you have risen indeed and definitely. Father, may we be people who live out acts of faith, who live out acts of freedom, and who live out acts of focus. And in the times where we just use a lot of lip service, God, show us those areas that we would be surrendered to you and say, Jesus, whatever that looks like, because we never know what AJs are looking at us. We never know what AJs are asking us the questions. You're enough. Jesus, you are enough for us. May that be a truth to each of us today. As we leave here, may we have a life that we understand is eternal. It's abundant. It's forever. We need you, Lord. We need you. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you that it didn't end there. Thank you that we can put all our hope and trust in what you've already done. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.